Oh, we have a very, very, very fun episode today. We got the wonderful Whitney Cummings on. But before we start the show, we'd like to thank our sponsor. If you'd like more info or just want to use Tiger Belly codes, you can go to viori.com/belly for the most and softest clothing for yoga, and betterhelp.com/belly and athleticgreens.com/belly. Use those codes, get some discounts, and also support the show at the same time. Also, if you want to grab your Tiger Belly collectible, just scan the QR code on the screen or hit the link down in the description. Play the intro music.
First of all, that's rude what you just did.
I like that, Whitney. That was funny.
That was bad.
Yeah. That was rude what you just did. Yeah. Because, you know, why can't a man look at his girlfriend, a friend of, you know, and go, nice nipples?
Yeah, why can't that happen?
And it's just, it's not a sexual thing. I've never looked at you in a sexual fucking way.
It's a respect thing.
Yeah, you know I mean, I look at you like,
Ronan Farrow, because I actually prefer sexual abuse to emotional abuse, and that's what you're doing right now.
Oh, really?
Like, I've never wanted to have sex with you. The only thing worse than a guy sexually harassing you is emotionally harassing you.
Okay, let me restate what I just said then, okay? Let me try to get to it right. Obviously, you're attractive, and there are men that like you, right? I just don't find you attractive. That's my own personal pain. But
why are you? Why are you mocking the person that thinks
I'm not?
I'm not doing that. They have Down syndrome.
No.
Why are you doing an impression of your brother when you do that?
Guys that look like Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. You know what I mean? Handsome dudes with pecs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And six packs.
Ugh.
But they're also very...
Stop giving Kalila ideas of people to date.
Yeah. But I just... So, I looked at your nipples, and it was not in a sexual way.
Set it in a higher register. Oh, I think God. We would say, nice nipples. Say again.
Try it higher.
Higher.
Oh, nice nipples.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's good.
Hey. Is that better?
I don't think any nipples to men are not nice. Like, when... I think that a lot of the, like... breast hating, but it comes from our women ourselves.
Mm, yeah,
like,
I think so.
When I made that robot, I went to the sex robot factory, and they told me the number one request from men when they were customizing, do I make more noise? Or, okay. Do you have more? Okay. Do I open that little Pandora's box?
Okay,
over there?
All right, go ahead.
No, sorry.
No. I want you to do, but now I have something to say.
Well, dude, I had a whole plan of something I was going to say up top, but of course, I don't know why I was. of course, we're already talking about nipples. That the number one request from people that have sex, mm-hmm. Make sex dolls is dark, very large nipples.
Big areolas.
That's
nipples.
Kind of weird because think about it, Whitney. Women, when they get pregnant and prepare for breastfeeding, their nipples become charcoal looking dark. Because it allows the baby for more contrast when the baby's
to
eyes
find
haven't.
A nipple.
Exactly. So like black, men just are babies.
Black nipple?
So your nipples turn into X-Men.
Dude, they become
they turn into Mystique.
Mystique. Can transform.
They're like a mood ring.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. And then larger. And then they have to get larger.
Larger.
Mm-hmm. I have a question. Bigger. Why do you keep referring it to a robot? Is it a doll or a robot?
It's a sex robot.
He's going to have a few.
No, what I'm saying is a robot has, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. talk and it's animatronic, right?
Yeah. Okay, I get it. You don't follow me on Instagram. I've only posted about it for 3 years straight.
No, I've seen it. I've just never seen it move. Does it talk and whatnot?
It's a doll when it's off and it's a robot when it's on.
And when you turn it on, what does it do?
It can talk. It can engage with you.
Oh, like, I did not know. So my bad. It is a robot. My bad. It is a robot.
These questions have... there are reasons for this question. He's going to try to court your robot next.
Please.
No.
Yeah, by the way, it would go great with all these weird-ass fucking statues you have in your foyer.
Yeah.
Wait, I just found out that we've collectively as a society been having sex the wrong way.
Uh-huh. Hold up. I just want to say one last thing about your robot. Does it have a vaginal part?
It does, and I put pantyhose.
There's a hole that you can stick your penis in.
Yes.
Okay, I don't want it then. Go ahead.
Jeez, that was the...
you can stick someone else's penis in and watch. I mean, yeah. I don't know what you're into these
What days. About if it had a penis?
No, I wouldn't. What? I'm not gay, baby.
Okay.
Can I say something just really fast?
Yeah, go ahead.
Claim my space here.
Yeah.
We've all been touring a lot, yes. And now that the pandemic's over, I'm going to say something sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I'm going to say something sincere.
For once in your life, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I just did, I don't know, 50 cities or, you know, we had to make up all those dates and, you know, shot a special like at the end and was getting ready to shoot the special. And when I say that the Tiger Belly fans are the most gracious, kind, some have a milky eye, but mostly the most, I mean, cause you know, and they come in your merch and they're like, they're so, I know you know this, but for them to come to someone else's show and be so gracious and so like, I mean, it's a testament to you and the, we do need to talk about your, because your podcast, that, it is a telenovela
that,
at this point. but they are just the most wonderful people.
They're the best.
That
the
hurts
very
me.
Best.
I mean, that hurts me.
Okay.
It really bums me out that they would even go to your show.
Trust me. It's like, betrayal. Like people in a cult fucking that are like, can you that. Help us get out? And I just want to say that. I did
and
not
you know
say
what?
This on Tim
and
Bell's
on behalf
podcast.
Of my fans, God bless you and take care. And they love you. We love you. And you're a part of our family.
I'm
so
sure
that's
there's
why.
There's some that don't, and that's fine. I'm just, it's just, it's very, I feel like we're at a point where it's not about how many tickets you're selling or how many people, it's the quality of your fans. If you don't want to hang out with your fans,
yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, I have great fans.
We really do.
You both do.
We really do.
It is because I mean now you can tell you know the Stern fans, yeah. The Rogan fans, like it's the Segura, the Mom's House fans. I mean, I know they're everyone's fan of everyone.
When we had our live show, I had and I'm so socially like anxious. I didn't have a problem hugging anyone.
You did not.
Who came up to my face. I mean, I was a huggy, the huggiest that ever been in my life, and I was happy to hold them.
It's a really cool thing because in the beginning, I toured. You're not one of these people, Bobby, but. Where I would open for people and their fans were like, they would want to just get off stage as quickly as possible. Like they didn't like their own fans. And you'd see like, you know, I was like, oh God, this is would be a nightmare of your own creation. If by whatever you talk about or whatever you do, you have to perform.
I think the problem though is this. I love Joel McHale.
Oh.
Joel?
Is that his name? Joel McHale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's his name, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Joel McHale, but you know, I know that he dabbles in podcasting, but most of his fans are from things that they've seen him, like Community fans or whatever, acting, you know, his acting, maybe some of his hosting stuff.
How badly does he want to kill Dax Shepard?
You know what I mean?
I
think podcasting fans are different because they sort of follow along with your life. They know kind of they're in sync with your point of view.
And they already accept you for whatever it is you are.
It's a different fan kind of fan base.
Well, it's also people that are super, super funny. Y'all play to the top of your intelligence. You're also very open about, you know, and that's all I'm going to say. They're just very forgiving and loving, and that's all.
Thanks for saying that, Whitney.
Thank you so for saying that.
It was like really made me just so happy for you both, because a lot of times you look at people, you're like, this person's on a TV show, they made it. This person is doing a big tour, they made it. They're playing Radio City, they got to. I kind of think the new you made it is you like your fans. You want to be friends with the people that come and see you.
Well, then let me get one of my resentments out then. You know what I mean?
What a switch.
Yeah, let me just.
Since we're
starting in a positive vibe, let me get the negativity out of the way.
I did just listen to your episode with Neil Brennan. I do believe that you two should start a podcast called Sore Winners. and it's just you two talking about how horrible your life is when everyone else looks up to you.
Oh, okay. So let me get the result. Go ahead.
Nothing. I was going to give you a high five, but you thought I was raising my hand.
Yeah, go ahead. High five.
They're out of sync right now.
So,
we've been broken up a month. The
more awkward than I thought it was going to be.
So I just have a little thing. Just clear it up for me. So the other night,
is this about Schomburg Improv?
No. We already got that out of the way. That's why
we
never. That's why we never bring that up again.
It's true.
Yeah.
You actually haven't.
Do you know why? Because we resolved that situation.
Okay.
Okay. We have a new situation.
Well, there was no situation. I never did anything wrong, but okay.
Well, that's your point of view.
That's my truth.
Yeah. That's your truth. But so the other night we were performing together.
You realize
can I get out?
Okay, the thing you got mad at me about at that Schomburg Improv is that I laughed too loudly at your jokes on stage.
That's not what it was. And how dare you? And you're bringing it back up. I thought we resolved it, but if you want to bring it back
up,
I will.
I just want you to know, one day you will go, oh, that's right, Whitney, you love too loud, and
I'm on stage, and you're laughing, and there's three other customers standing with you laughing together during a show.
We were watching your show and laughing. That's what
standing you- up?
That's your job.
Wait, you do that a lot to other comics, though.
That's and I'm not arguing.
I've never seen
that.
Bobby laugh at another comic.
I have. I have.
I'm sorry. I'll show
Can
you.
I get the thing out of my way?
Of course.
All right. Thank you. So, and I like what you're trying to do, divert. But let's get to the thing. So, just, please.
Okay.
So, the other night, you knew I was after you.
Right. Okay.
Look at right. So she's about to bring me up, mm-hmm. and she goes, "This next comic, I love dearly." Right?
Yeah.
And I go, in my heart, I'm like, here we are, my friend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The connection's already there. I'm a big fan. I go, did not know that, but you know what? She said it out loud, and that's great.
She's going to say the credits, yeah.
Yeah, and he's at the top of his game. I go,
Ladies and gentlemen, Brendan Schaub.
Yeah, and then you go, he did an album called Caligula. And then my heart started going, right, because it's like all coming to me because I know Jessalyn Leck's back there.
And I'm freaking out because I'm like, what the fuck was it called? What was it called? Macbeth? What was it called? Moby Dick?
Caligula? Right. And my old self would have let it go and let you just bring up Anthony Jeselnik. Like.
No, but I did not do that. That'd be dumb.
But I did not do that, right? My instinct took over. Mm-hmm. I was in the audience and I screamed at the top of my lungs in a packed room, right? What are you doing? Something like that, right? And then you looked at me. And then you kind of went, you frazzled. But let me just ask you, what was that? You just forgot who was next?
I'll tell you what.
Like, I don't understand because I saw you backstage. You knew, yes. And you saw the lineup.
Yep.
So I don't know what the confusion was.
Yep. So I haven't been to the Comedy Store in a while. I've been touring. It used to be very, like, you go on stage, mm-hmm. you'd be like, and they just yell at you. It was just always chaos. So we were on a lineup. It was, I think, me, you. There was a pop-in on the side. Anthony.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. But I'm
exactly what it was.
But here's the thing. I did not look
exactly what it was.
I did not look at the lineup. I'm dumb. And I should have. And I don't know what. I got there. And then Bobby was like, oh, I'm sorry. Paulie was like, you're going to bring me up as a special guest. And I was like, oh. And I was like, okay. And then I was backstage and I was talking to Anthony. And I just didn't like.
All right. So let me get this straight.
And then I went on stage and then I went, oh, fuck. Is Paulie the special guest? I saw Anthony backstage. And then I just.
Well, if Paulie, just to clear this up.
Yeah.
If Paulie said to you that I'm the special guest, wouldn't you already in your mind go, he would be next?
Yes. And then I
But you didn't do that.
Well, I didn't see him around. Like, he was like, I just had seen Anthony. I mean, I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart. But,
okay.
But I have good news and bad news. It had nothing to do with you. I just, I forgot. I know.
It hurt.
You, I didn't, no. It's, I didn't, I didn't even know you were, it's, this is between
aloof.
Paulie. And
aloof.
This is between me and Paulie. Do you know what I'm saying? I just made a mistake. And it's interesting because I am sorry and I'm happy to apologize. Mm-hmm.
Just as long as it wasn't on purpose.
It sounds like an honest mistake.
And that's why I'm accepting it. Just as long as it wasn't a sabotage.
Imagine. Bobby's up, but I'm going to bring up Anthony. Like, well, I stand to gain nothing from that. Anthony's just going to go on and make fun of me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it's such a worse thing for me for Anthony to come up next.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm, as I feel like I'm learning more about you as an off-camera friend because I think it sometimes. Well, do you know what I'm saying?
No, we've known each other for 20 years. What the fuck?
I left
about?
Going, oh my God, I totally fucked up bringing someone on. Mm. You've known, I mean, as long as I've been at the Comedy Store 15 years, I've never done that.
Yeah.
In my life.
You haven't.
And never in my life.
Yeah.
And it turned into what I thought this really fun live moment.
It was. We got laughs out of it.
Like, what's what the Comedy Store is all about? It was like this unpredictable moment where Bobby kind of came up to the stage and I had fucked up and there was this fun.
But there's a backstory. I'll tell you why. Oh. This. It's online?
Jesus!
Somebody has it online.
Put your headphones on, you can hear it.
Who's channel is this?
You know him. He is so brilliant. You know his specials. Caligula.
They bothered me.
Wait.
Right here.
Okay, push pause.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you what happened, all right? So
I want to let you know, though, I am sorry.
I just brought it up as a joke.
But it was,
fun.
I agree.
Something to talk about.
But no one was madder at me than me. And I should.
But I'll tell you why.
I was sloppy and I should have, right before I went out, I should have looked at the lineup.
Something funny had happened. I was sitting there in the back row, yeah. Right, with some patrons, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was talking to this guy, and he's like, "Aren't you performing?" And I was acting cool. So I was like sitting next to him, and I was just like, "Yeah, I'm next."
I walked into a fucking hornet's nest.
Yeah. So I'm sitting next to this guy, and he's with a bunch of crew. They're from New York. Like, and then we were talking during your set. I apologize. And
okay, all right, come on.
Okay. I apologize. Yeah, and he's like, "Well," and this is so dumb. He goes, "So you're next, but aren't you supposed to be backstage?" And I go, "You know, sometimes," like acting like a fucking
idiot.
I like to just do it from here, right? He's like, "Oh, that's cool, man."
Like you let your gas tank go to the red.
right. And then as you're bringing me up, I stood up, and this group was like, "Oh, there he goes," right? And then once you said Caligula, right, you could see, I just felt them going, "You're not next. You're a fool," right? And so that's what, there was like a little bit of a backstory.
You were embarrassed.
Yeah. There was a little bit of embarrassment there.
But look, she was embarrassed. She had remorse.
Yeah, she was.
Oh, I was.
Yeah.
How about this? Can I do one?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was about to say, you know what, I'm just going to shut my mouth. But there was a time I called a Latino comic, Pablo Francisco, when it was like introduced him fully that in the belly room one night, I'd like smoked some weed and I was like, "Pablo," and I was like, "Oh my
God, it?
Francisco." so not too far, you know? Yeah. And he walks on stage and I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry."
You do have a problem with introductions because you told one time said about Martin Lawrence, he's the greatest comic on planet Earth.
Which, by the way, I said, here's how on the same page I thought we were.
Yeah.
In this moment of like what I thought was just like a fun, crazy, like, Whitney made a mistake. Now we're just going to be silly and the audience gets to see this ridiculous, like, unscripted moment. Bobby one time gave me so much shit after I said, like, this, you know, because Martin's sitcom is my favorite show. It's still my favorite
He's
show.
He's one of the best.
Martin was a very big deal to me. So I don't know his stand-up as much as I'm not. So he was coming on stage. The guy fucking cooked himself on Ventura in tinfoil like 20 years ago. Right. Let's just be respectful. You know what I'm saying?
I love him.
Yeah. The guy is like
he jogged on
legend.
A
He's a miso cod on Ventura. Like, I don't know. And he was, I had introduced him and I was like, "This guy is," what'd I say?
"One of the greatest comedians."
I think that's true. But, you know, but Martin was truly my favorite show.
Yeah, and I love him.
And then, so this was happening.
Not one of the greatest comedians in the world, though.
Totally fair.
Yeah. Great guy. I love him. Legend.
Yes.
Yeah.
That show, to me, is still, I'll watch it.
Legend.
And cry laughing.
Yeah.
And also, they're laughing in it. Like, you know. And I even said, one of the greatest comedians is no Martin Lawrence. Like, I said that to you. That was just, no one else would have gotten that in the room except you.
Oh, right.
So it bombed for everyone else, but I was just trying to,
that's how
on the same page I thought we were.
All right.
About it being a funny moment.
Okay, all right.
I was like, Bobby and I are in this moment. It's just us. It's us against the
and
world.
I think it flew over my head.
It didn't flow over your head. You were embarrassed. You were just, if I had known the two people in the back, everyone else loved it, but those two people that whose approval you needed, who was it, Ellen, or who was it?
No, I don't.
Ellen. Yeah.
Anyway, I accept your apology.
It was rude. It was rude unintentionally, but I'm at the point in my life where it's like, well, it's not about the impact, it's about the intention. I'm all about impact at this point. If that's the impact I made, I'm sorry.
I'm totally fucking kidding. It wasn't even an issue. In fact, I like when that happens because when it got loud, I was just trying to create some sort of podcast fodder.
When it comes to Asian hate, I will stop it. You only. I know you guys are you're incredible at that. You guys are incredible at just going right for the sweating off the bat.
Yeah,
off the bat. Remember when podcasts were chill? Remember when we were was an emotional MMA?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but it's fun.
It is.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I like being confrontational a little bit. But it's just out of love, you know.
I think it's healing. I mean, to get like to be able to be of service to other people and get paid to be relentlessly honest,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
It's like you hack the system in a way.
On the road, were you doing any clubs or just theaters?
I was doing clubs in the beginning of the pandemic because, you know, it was things were at half capacity, weren't open. So I did. But after that, I did the theater tour.
Yeah. And you like that?
I prefer clubs. Like, I love doing clubs because I like to do two shows a night, and theaters. I don't like adding two theater because of the meet and greets after, just too late. I like clubs because you get to do one set and be like, oh, that didn't go well. I want to do this again, like right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's where you get better. But I think clubs, there's a certain game you have to play where you're like, I have to prove that I can sell out clubs. And I know that's part of the thing.
Yeah.
Even though, I'm sorry, I've proved that I can sell out theaters.
Oh, sell out theaters.
Even though I would rather do
Cobbs
and Comedy Works.
Yeah. I for some reason, I'm getting pushed to do theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't.
It's less money. I mean, it is less money.
Theaters is.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you don't have the food, the drinks,
the production value. It's a bit.
Yeah. All right. So
I mean, depending I'm not willing to charge more than $60, $70 for tickets. I just ethically, I just won't do it.
Yeah, at clubs I can do less ticket prices. $40 is the most I charge. And then, but I like just the interaction of people, right?
Yeah.
And also, it gives room for people to bring people that don't know you,
mm-hmm.
right? Oh yeah, I'm just gonna go here, and it's like clubs are more a casual affair for people. You know what I mean?
I'm saying this. I love clubs until 20 minutes into your set, they drop the check, and I'm like, why the fuck am I listening to people be like, who got the salmon? Like, I'm like, why am I
at the store? Okay, at the Comedy Store, right? And I forget to fucking even tell the fucking waitresses, right? But every time I'm about to tell a punchline, you have some person stand in front of the fucking OR, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I say the punchline, and you have to admit this, it gets 80% less of a volume in terms of laughter.
80%?
Yeah. Like 80%. It's like,
there was a Pew research. Can you pull up the Pew?
No, I have a.
Is that a Mayo Clinic?
No, I've been doing it enough to know. It happened last night, right? Once it goes, and I'm about to say the punchline, I go, uh-oh.
This is my favorite when people make up fake statistics and then they deliberate. They're like, it's like the audience laughter goes down like 70-80%. What fake math did you do in your head?
Yeah. All right, I exaggerate.
That's 50%. True. No, that's true. And I think that's part of becoming a better comic. Like, you see people that just go straight from like YouTube fame and they go straight to a theater and they're just shoveling shit down their gullet. And you're like, oh yeah, it's because they've never had to compete with five checks dropping at the same time and people looking at their bill. Like,
as an audience member my whole life, it really does fuck up the moment for me. Because I cannot drown out stimulus around me. So if someone is deliberately, they're arguing about a check next to me, it really fucks up my experience.
All I can think about.
Yeah.
It's all I can hear. I was just in Austin, and Rogan and I went to go see Christina Pazitsky at one of the venues there. It's called Creek in the Cave, and she was just like working on new stuff. And it was the first time I've sat and watched comedy in a comedy venue and not gone up, you know. I probably couldn't even tell you when, 15 years, 20 years?
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting in the back as a comic. And we were just sitting, just watching her, you know?
She's the best.
Yeah, she's a friend. I was just wanting to go see her. And I was like the substitute teacher. I was like, hey, just go. Like, people are opening their Werther's Originals. They're talking to each other. They're texting. they're taking videos.
Yeah.
They've got fidget spinners. Like, I don't know. I'm like, hey, Susie, could you watch? I'm going out in the lobby. I hear music. People's phones are going off. I was like, excuse me. Like, I was a monster. Because I was like, she probably didn't notice any of it. But I was so just protective of just being like, I cannot believe all the fucking rigmarole that goes on while comedians are on stage. I would rather just be delusional and not know.
Yeah, I find Joe to be very sweet lately.
Joe's very, Joe's a big...
He kissed me on the cheek and gave me a bruise. The kiss was so fucking... So, you know what I mean? What?
Oh, my zipper. Thanks, George.
Single. Easy, Tiger. Whoa. Should we call this?
When you found out that we had broken up, what'd you feel?
relief. No. I was thinking about it because I was like catching up on everything yesterday, and I'm sad. I mean, I'm sad because I know how sad y'all are, and I think for me, I have the and how it's heartbreak. I mean, life's it's like getting an animal that you know is going to die at some point.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just that like
they're not going to die.
There's no there you go. There's no way around it. It's like no one gets out alive, and I think that when you know someone is going through something that you've either gone through or you know is just like. There's no way out but through unless you want to anesthetize yourself and do, you know,
yeah.
There's no way, you know what it is? And there's nothing anyone can do to take your pain. That's what's the most frustrating.
Yeah.
When people that you love are in some kind of pain, in a fraught situation where the only thing they can do is feel it and then heal it. And like with an animal dying or that, there's nothing you can do. Whereas if you were like, we got our podcast pulled down from YouTube. You'd be like, here's why it's going to be good. Here's why it's the best thing that's ever happened to you. Work stuff. Here's why you just dodged a bullet. You know what I mean? You didn't get to work with Alec Baldwin. But when I heard you guys like talk about it, it was, you know, I my personal point of view as someone who my best friend and sort of business partner is an ex of mine that I dated when I was much younger. And he's like very much like my soulmate, my brother. And I believe that there is a type of intimacy that I want crave more than anything, which is, you know, someone that you've been in a romantic relationship with and now you're family. That to me is the most life affirming, the most proud relationship I have and the most intimacy I have. So I'm happy that you guys like have that, you know, like that in the way that you guys all are, you articulated it.
And also because it didn't happen overnight, right? This has been on the table for an entire year. Do we stay together? Do we not? So it's just, it isn't, I think that I'm able to talk about it objectively now because it we didn't have one giant fight and then say fuck off, you know. It's been
it also was like 10 years is such a giant success.
And Helena Bonham Carter said it when her and Tim Burton broke up. She's just because it ended doesn't mean it wasn't a success.
Yes, and half of her family died in a plane crash.
Oh my God!
So think about that.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Thanks, Wendy.
So she was definitely on Percocet when she said that.
What the fuck was that?
Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. No. But what does one have anything to do with the other, man?
Because, dude, how many people do you know? There's something fascinating to me when you really start like doing the math on how many entertainers have had like really horrendous shit happen to them.
Yeah.
Like I remember one time I was like, Stephen Colbert was on The Daily Show or something, and I remember being like, look at this guy. Nicest guy. Doesn't have any trauma. You don't have to be traumatized to be a comedian. The funniest person. Someone's like, you know that
what, his parents, yeah.
Yeah, like three of his family members just like died in a plane crash when he was 10. I'm like,
oh,
got
shit.
It.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I could not think of a more elegant way that y'all have ostensibly navigated this in such a mature way. And I think that like, you know, and not to bring up, so I made a movie about this, you know, in this movie that I made, The Female Brain, there was one whole storyline that was about this couple. It was Sofia Vergara and Dion Cole, and they had been together for 7-8 years. And it's like, our brain is wired to kind of, our brain is savage, you know? It's like, we're kind of wired to be madly obsessed and attracted to each other for like 2 years, the amount of time it would take to make a baby and then make sure the guy sticks around to care for it. And then we're wired to kind of move. It's the fact that y'all have like overcome, despite our most—
Is that a true thing you just said?
Yeah. We don't make as much oxytocin and dopamine for someone after like 2 years.
Oh, fuck. It makes sense. That was
But you guys, no, I'm saying you have beat the, you're so, your love for each other and your care for each other, like you've built this despite biology. Like you've over, you know what I'm saying?
Is that why every relationship I've ever had only lasted 2 years?
Or even less.
Well, yeah, you stop producing dopamine and oxytocin for the person, but then you go, look, yes, I want to fuck everything that moves. That's what I'm wired to do, choosing this. I think that's the thing about relationships is, thank you, is that you...
There's your guy. Bobby comes home and he has a picture next to a guy who's towering over him. And he goes, who's this, Kalila? Who did I take a picture with? And it's Blake Griffin.
And By the way, who is...
Great guy.
So funny. It's annoying.
Yeah, so funny.
Yeah.
No, but like did stand up at Montreal and was hilarious.
Yeah.
Like he's legitimately hilarious.
I just, with Blake Griffin though, because he's always around. I don't care. I know that he'll crush me, but I'm just saying that he'll destroy me. But I just never got a sense that he liked me. Like, because I see him with other comics and ass playing in this.
Why did you take a picture with him and who did you think he was?
Stevie Aoki.
Boom.
Yep. Call back. What? No, I thought... What's up?
AC.
No, I thought he was... just a tall comedian from New York.
A tall light.
As if tall men have to become comedians.
I'm just... No, you know, because there's ones like Gary Goldman, they're tall.
There's one.
Gary Goldman?
Yeah, and he's... his whole thing is, I can't stop taking antidepressants.
Yeah.
But Blake Griffin is so...
Actually, he's a talented guy. He's a legend. I know.
Taught me a lot in a fascinating way. As I sort of move through life, I've started dividing people into two categories. Like, do you have any of these things where, like, you divide people?
How? What are the categories?
It can be as simple as, like, black licorice person or not black licorice person.
Oh, right.
Only child, right. Not only child. Like,
there are two types. I just made another one of those categories.
Love
people
this.
Who like to just hang out and chill in their car when they've gotten to the destination, and people who get out quickly. Mm. Like, I'm somebody, when I get somewhere, I need a second, 5 minutes.
I'm the person going, are you leaving?
Yeah. I need so a moment.
Yes.
I have one too. Car. People that view vacations in a certain way. Like, some people view vacations as relaxation, chill, and some of our action adventure.
We're completely opposite.
That's we're opposite, She's like fucking Laura Croft. Mm-hmm. Let's go in the caves. No, I don't want, you know what I mean? Disease. I don't know.
But I do like massages at the end of every day.
Yeah.
I do like some relaxation.
She's giving mouth to mouth to a blowfish. 1,000 feet under the sea. You're like, I can't. Like, people that played team sports and people that didn't.
Individual
sports? Yeah. Team sports or not.
Or fencing.
Team sports or fencing or track and field or whatever. You know, and this whole thing with, like, people being so mad about, like,
can I ask you something?
Trans athletes.
Is wrestling a team sport?
No, it's an individual.
But there is a team.
Playing for the other team.
There is a team, though.
Yeah, but that's just like saying swimming is not an individual sport because there's a relay. Like, no, swimming is an individual sport.
It is a very individual sport.
But there is a team, though.
Yes.
There's, of course.
But they go individually.
Yes.
Right, so tennis would be, unless you were a doubles partner.
Individual.
Okay, I'm just learning.
Let me ask you something about this. So
wait, let's ask every sport and see if
you... Yeah. Ask me
some... Are there people that can play well with others and collaborate and lean on others? Are there people who are like... I'm the star of this, and I don't, you know. So it's interesting because I was a big team sports player, and then I became a singular stand-up comedian because by the time I went to improv, I was like, you motherfuckers are going to fuck it up for me. I'm not, y'all are dragging me down.
But when I was wrestling, I wanted someone to help me. So that would, I really was. I was like, I would look over to the heavyweight, you want to get in on this? You know what I mean? So it was like, I think I did individual sports, but I wanted people to jump in to help me.
Within those individual sports, though, there's still two types of people. People who compete against others and people who compete against themselves. So my sister was a against herself type of gal. I'm only going to race and try to beat my own personal best. I'm the opposite. My eyes are everywhere. I'm trying to beat my personal best and everyone in this heat.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder what I am. Types.
I'm personal best guy.
I think you're you're highly competitive.
What?
No, in swimming, I mean.
No way. For you.
Only swimming. Swimming. Yeah. No, you think that I'm competitive.
Your career.
You're so competitive, sweetie.
Your career.
What do you mean my career?
Your career. You're not, I'm just trying to be the best.
No, dude, I'm misunderstanding my friend, right? My whole thing is like, you know, I want to do the best I can, right? And I'll get what I get, right? I just wonder why other people get something I can't get.
Can I just say something? Fly on the wall.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm very into this new Bobby Lee. It is. I don't know.
New Bobby Lee? What the fuck are you talking about, man?
Could you tell us, like, compare the two differences?
I mean, look, we fucked around and we found out. Bobby Lee got self-esteem, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. I hadn't listened to the podcast. So I literally know Bobby as someone that is like, you know, we are very open about our insecurities and low self. I turned on the podcast and I was just like skipping around, and it's like, I'm Bobby Lee, motherfucker. Like, you said it a couple times. You're like, I'm Bobby Lee. And I was like, that is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I feel like you
therapized
have
Bobby.
Broken through something. I don't. Maybe in the last year, maybe it was the pandemic, maybe it was... what happened with all that drama, but you're in I just feel that you have arrived to another level of understanding of your worth. And I think it's awesome.
I would have to agree.
Well, cause you react to things that aren't real. You know what I mean?
Or maybe you did that show with the fucking Ace and we're like, if you call yourself not funny, you're calling your fans dumb. You know what I mean?
No, it's like this. It's like, you know, I can't walk around, right, going, I'm a piece of shit. I can't get nothing, mm-hmm. And all that whole fucking thing, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, you know, doing a scene with Sarah Jessica Parker in New York, and then she's like wanting to know who I am and all that stuff. And in my head, it's like my inner voice isn't matching what the reality is, right? So it's like I'm just trying to match my reality with, you know, with my voice.
Like, to say that you're not successful, that's like, on some QAnon shit. It's like, it's
yeah, yeah,
delusional.
It's delusional, it's insane.
And everyone is just like, Okay, so wait, you, that
and you're right, you in many ways, because I used credits? To, yeah, I used to do that. Even, you know, this is the thing that bothered you about me was is that like after I would do well on stage, I would go, I bombed, right? And it was just the same way of trying to like, you know, but it didn't, that didn't even make any sense when you would bring it up like that. I'm tired, because one day you pulled me aside and said, stop, I can't do this anymore.
Well, it was before
it's tiring.
And, but I just, I think sometimes when you have a maladaptive behavior that works really well for you, either like you're minimizing yourself, making yourself small and walking on eggshells around narcissists or, you know, borderlines, like that maybe worked really well to shrink yourself or be like, I'm a piece of shit, I'm ugly, That I did that same shit. It worked for me because it made the narcissists in my life not feel threatened by me, and it made me feel safe. So when I would see before you went on stage, you're like, I'm gonna bomb, you know. And I'm like, maybe this was like something, a tool he developed so that other comedians wouldn't be threatened by him, and this is how he survived in the hallways. And then you would go like, I'm gonna bomb, and you'd be like nervous before going on. Most of the people are there to see you, and then you go on and destroy in a way that made
yeah.
Okay, but I know you're being, I know what you're talking about. But 10 years in, every night for 10 years, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know how sometimes you just need permission sometimes for someone to say like, oh, you don't need to do that.
You're right.
Like, and something clicks. And I was just, for like a year, I was like, what if I just said, no, don't say anything. It's none of your business. How dare, who are you? He's senior to you. Like, and then one day I just said it.
Yeah.
I'd like to make a comment that might be inappropriate.
Go ahead.
Since we are no longer in a relationship.
Okay.
But tell your leg.
The worst thing about breaking up, though, is being at the Comedy Store, because there are people that I never talk to that are going, like, I'll see them and they'll be like, bring it in.
Oh, God.
You hate that.
And I go, what?
They're all just so psyched Kyle is single.
Oh, is that what it is? But it's like even people I barely talk to, come on, buddy. Right? And I'm like, and I don't want to be a dick, so I'm kind of like, okay. And I'll just kind of give them a hug, and they're like, man, if you ever need anything. It's
they're doing the
bitch, circle. I don't know you.
Oh, have any of you gotten DMs from people trying to, like?
I finally got my first one.
Oh, really? What did it say? No, why are you? You don't have to be.
Oh, I got excited. It was my one and only. I've never gotten one before.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to know.
Yeah. And I don't want to get into it, but it was like, you know, one body
part. You don't?
One body part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, I want to fuck you.
It was Kyla.
It was me. It was a fucking burner account. Yeah, yeah.
And
that was
my
pussy,
first
so.
One.
Did you go to the person's profile to see if they were mentally...
They probably are mental. It might, or I already make an assumption that they are.
Happy.
Yeah. That they're out of their. What's wrong, George? Why are you rolling your eyes back?
Well, I, through this podcast, have had two of those, so I was just surprised that you've only had one.
Oh,
do you guys call him Nazi Theo?
Yeah.
Nazi Theo. Jesus.
What I would do.
Yeah, you've had two, man? How many DMs have you gotten?
This is the Wayback Machine. Gilbert was bragging about him before, like when we
announcing really. I was engaged. It was half and half. A lot of women and a lot of guys' dicks.
I haven't gotten a dick, and I swear to God, I've had one breast shot, which is just recently.
Oh, that's hot.
And that's
hot.
It. So in my head,
what was it? Do you remember the?
The angle?
What the kids are doing these days. Yeah, how was it like a high angle?
That's going to tell you how old she is. It's going to tell you a lot
it'll
of
tell
things.
Me, yeah, it'll
it's
tell
straight on.
Straight on?
Yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't like, it wasn't
was
above.
Was her face in it?
Yes.
Oh.
On both.
A little
nothing to lose.
That's a little aggressive.
Wait, if her, okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice breasts. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they're not, you know what I mean?
They're not Whitney Cummings.
They're not Whitney Cummings nipples. No. But, you know, I wouldn't say that they were... Like if I was a judge at the Olympics, it would be like,
what score?
I don't even.
But do you, because you're so far removed from the sort of culture of this? I mean, you have guy friends, so you know. But does that mean like I just want to fuck, or does that mean I want you to take me on a date?
Right.
And do you know how old this person is?
No, I have no interest.
I have no interest,
by the way.
But you read it. It'll show that you read it.
We both have not dated in 10 years. We probably need your help.
Yeah.
We
get back together. That's my advice.
No, honestly, I need. So let me ask you. Do you mind if we get into that?
Suck it the fuck
right.
up.
So let me ask
it's
you.
It's a war zone out there.
All right. So Whitney.
That's what I hear.
So what do I do? Should I get not anytime soon, but like,
Yeah, also, nobody sane is going to date either of you given this situation. So it's already.
What do you mean?
Well, it's the matter of like, so Nick, so my best friend,
yeah.
who I dated before, he like lived with me. I mean, we're insane. He is my biggest, biggest priority. Anyone yeah. coming in to date either of you has to understand the other person is going to be the biggest priority.
How do you explain that to your new girl?
Like you can't, like, here's the.
I never even thought about it.
You know what it is? It's like having a kid, being like, look, you have to meet my kid. I can't let you meet him too early, but mm-hmm. if that doesn't take. So for me, right. when people date me, I'm like, they just have to meet Nick as soon as possible. If they don't vibe, if Nick doesn't, like, there's no point in going any further.
I see.
But it's like, I feel the same way always with my mom, in the sense that, like, if my girlfriend, my mom doesn't like my girlfriend, I can't make it. There's just no way it's going to work, right?
Sure.
You know, so it's like, now.
She would have to be very patient about the fact that we do slip up. We do still kiss on the lips. You still call me babe. We do watch the boys together every night.
Okay.
Like, we still sleep on the same bed. Like, yeah, that's a hard thing.
But in a world, eventually, when you move out,
yeah.
right, and you have your own place, still, I think that would be a thing where I would have to go. If I'm on a date with a girl, I have to go, you know, just FYI, you know, my ex-girlfriend's my best friend and we do a podcast together. And
I think they'd probably know, but.
I know, but what if they don't?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Then date someone who speaks English and has a Wi-Fi connection.
Right, right. But I would have to
stop dating people that just got out of underground cults.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would have to.
Everyone's going to Google you. Everyone's going to know, you know?
Right, right. And I just have to say that's the situation. Like. And then they probably ask, like, well, is she there all the time?
Here's the irony. The irony is that, like, I actually, it is a giant red flag for me if guys aren't friends with their exes. If guys don't speak highly of their exes.
Right.
If they're like, she's a fucking psycho, she's a con.
That's a big red flag
to
for me.
You're the common denominator in all these psychos. Like, what's going on? You know? So to me, there's nothing more. This is why I love, before the guy that I'm dating, he's younger, but I really only wanted to date married guys with kids before that had a lot of respect for their child's mother, because that's just so attractive to me.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, I'm only going to date married guys. They know how commitment works. Like, they know how to stay amicable and respectful to someone that they spent 10 years with. It's a fucking huge deal. And there's going to be times where your new guy, you're going to go have a problem, or girl, whatever. I don't see gender. where you're going to go, like, I'm having a problem. I need to call Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a man's going to go, what the fuck? You know, like, those things are going to
happen. Well, I envision a world where, like, 3 years down the road, she has a boyfriend named Tony, and I'm calling, yo, Tony, you know, I can't hang these shelves up.
Mm.
So you come over.
He's
like, hey, dude, you know, hey, bro, I'm with Kalai right now, bro, right? And I go, come on, Tony, come over.
So
he comes over, right? And then we're like, you know, and I go, hey, let's play.
Oh, no, you're going to recruit me to gaming?
Let's co-op on Stardew Valley. You think so, bro? I go, yeah. And then we co-op. And then, like, 6 months down the road, I'm sucking his dick. You like that, Tony? I like it, dude. I like it.
Pretty good, dude. Yeah.
I think we're the first culture that's like, you know, that book Committed by Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote Eat, Pray, Love, which I didn't really get. But this was about how in every culture, like, what marriage means, what relationships mean. And we're like we're the only culture, America, like this sort of Western civilization, we're the only ones that involve love at all. For everyone else, it's a business thing. It's about, like, land, and I need someone to be able to watch my kids, and I can't afford to move out. Like, it's such a, like, you know, no one expects to be, like, in love all the time. We're the only people that are like, every day I need to have butterflies. It's like for most people, it's just like a business, you know?
Right.
And I talk to friends of mine that, you know, don't do what we do for a living, and they're in these marriages that are miserable, and I'm like, why don't you leave? And they're like, I can't afford to. Like, where would I'd have to, like, call the phone company and separate the bit, like, it's just too it's too entrenched, like, we can't, you know. So
well, why didn't it work out with Nick?
Well, I was a kid. I mean, I was young. I was not yet, like, integrated or realized as a person. I was codependent, unrecovered Al-Anon, and very much addicted to adrenaline and having to chase someone and force someone to. Basically, he was emotionally unavailable at the time. He had a really intense trauma when he was a child that is, like, one of the ones you just don't come back from. I think you guys both get that. Lost someone in his family in front of him, saw it happen.
Oh, wow.
And he just, there's certain traumas that it, I mean, if you were to do like 20 years of psychotherapy, you might be able to build some neural pathways, right. but it changes your brain forever. Right. Mm. And he's just, you know, and then he had cancer later in life just from like stress and stuff. And then being raised by parents that had lost a kid is very hard because, when parents have lost a child, it's the child that is surviving. It's very hard for anyone to console anyone because everyone's in so much pain. Right. So it ends up being just like emotional neglect. And, you know, it's just they say something like only 90% of couples that lose a child end up breaking up because there's just there's so much anger. Yeah. Why weren't you there? Why? Like, it's just you can't move past it. Like the only way out is to just move on and just try to pretend it didn't happen, like denial, you know? And so, so he was not able, like neither of us were really able to have any kind of intimacy. Neither of us had healed these invisible wounds. So it was just kind of the perfect way for me to cut myself by like chasing him around. He was like, everyone in Hollywood wanted to date him. He was like this big screenwriter. And just because he didn't want to commit to anyone because he didn't want to invest in anyone and then have the inevitable pain of a breakup. Cause he was just pain avoidance. Right. And so I just was obsessed with him because it made me feel like shit to like chase him around and, you know, and then ultimately it was like, we're soulmates. We're meant to be best friends. We weren't meant to date, but I didn't know how to start off in a platonic relationship. I thought the only thing I had to offer the world was sex or my body. So it didn't even occur to me like this person that makes me laugh so much that I just want to be around all the time. Like we could just be friends.
Maybe we misread the cues up front.
No.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, when we first met, we had that strong feeling of like, why do I feel so like deeply like bonded to you even after the first date?
Trauma.
Right? Yeah, I think, but we didn't really talk about the trauma.
I just think that subconsciously that you just find your person that you relate to on that level. I feel like you can just read them, you know what I mean? In a sense, you know what I mean? And I think that that's what our initial bond was.
It was like a comfort, right?
A comfort, yeah, right. We hate the same things, authoritarian figures, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's also, I think, a result of, because my dad was such a menace, right? That's why I hate Trump so much. You know what I mean?
Neo-Nazi Theo?
Yeah, I don't know why I keep looking at neo-Nazi Theo when I say
I hate Trump so much.
I don't know why I always look at you.
Or is Theo Nazi Theo? We don't know.
Yeah.
But what I'll say is, not my place to say, but you know, I don't think you have to like pathologize yourself for having fallen in love. Not like I had trauma. That's why I loved you. It's like, no, I mean, it's like, you're gorgeous and amazing.
You're
smart. As someone that knew Bobby for a while and you came along, I was like, she is so like calm, like you just like move through the world with such like a calmness and a grace and a, whether it's from, you know, your trauma, the work you've done or having been a nurse, whatever it is, you're just like water off things. Just like,
here's what also when I date a girl, like I've had women, right, that I've dated that aren't, she wasn't in the business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you introduce them to that world, they act cray cray.
Yeah.
Right. They don't know how to act. You know what I mean? You're at somebody's house that's like a celebrity or whatever, and they take selfies with them and post it online. No. Or that one girl I brought to the upfronts, and she gave her card to the president of Fox, saying that I'm a comedian, right? And she's like, "What the fuck is this? This is a dinner, bitch."
You know, Fox, and that's Fox News.
Like, yeah. That's Rupert Murdoch. Yeah, but my point is but she was the first girlfriend that I had, that I thought, oh, she can navigate, right, in every social situation.
Yes.
A chameleon in many ways. And she could
read. Trauma.
I think it's chameleon, that's what we can both do. I mean, but people that can shape shift that easily based on the way they had to do it as a survival mechanism can also be very dangerous people.
Yeah.
She's able to shape shift and survive any situation you throw her in without being an inauthentic and full of shit person.
Yeah.
Because I used to sometimes conflate that and be like, oh, this person could just like be this person at this event and this person at this event. And then you're like, oh, you're just a sociopath. Like you were lying to me this
whole
time.
That is extremely scary. Like people who are able to kind of code switch on, you know, immediately. Yes, I do understand.
But what you have to, you know, we all know what we have to do to get through a party or whatever. You're authentic when you're not.
But can I say the greatest night when it solidified to me that you were the one was Adam.
10 years. You'll be the one for about 10 years.
Adam Sandler's Christmas party.
Ice skating.
Yeah,
at the bowl, ice skating and
Where he had the band.
There? Hockey.
Were you there that night?
Pickwick.
Pickwick.
Yeah, Pickwick. Yeah.
He does it every year. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I went 1 year, and usually when I go to those events, I...
That's right. Every year I get to go find out which actors are so short. That's my favorite thing to be like, Stephen Dorff is like 5'1". Love this party.
Stephen Dorff really that short?
Yeah.
So usually I go to those places, I'm there 15 minutes tops. I say hi to who I need to say hi to when I leave.
That part is a nightmare.
Nightmare. Yeah. But with her, I went there, we were there for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Just running around.
Fun.
And giggling and look at that person and going to all the areas. And I it was the first time where I went, you know, I'm actually having a really good time in an environment that I dread usually, you know? And that's when I knew this is going to work. You know what I mean?
It's also interesting because I hear I don't know the answer because I am lone wolf is my energy. And it's not something that I totally, from what I understand, it would take a very long time to change. I don't know if I'm even interested in changing it. I wasn't socialized a lot as a child. I'm very good on my own. Like, I'm an introvert by nature, which I did not know the definition of this until actually kind of recently, is that introvert and extrovert. Introvert is that you derive energy from being alone. Mm-hmm. And extrovert is you derive energy from socializing. I have friends that they're like, they'll go to one bar and they're like, let's go to another one. Let's go meet these people. And I'm like, aren't you exhausted? Yeah. Like, I have friends, they'll do a dinner and then a drinks and then they'll go to a late night. And I'm like, I'm always like, is that cocaine? Is it at, like, I'm exhausted. Yeah. So, and it's nothing personal about the person. So I'm really like being alone. I'm like good at it.
Me too.
I understand it. When someone else comes into the mix, I just, like, my ADD and perfectionism, it makes me kind of resent the person if I'm around them too much because I feel like I have to be on my best behavior all the time and I don't want to show them, you know, I want to be, I just, like, it's like this. Like, the guy that I'm dating now, he's in my house, and I go to make coffee, and he's sitting there, and I'm like, do I have to be like, do you want to, like, do I have to offer? Because if I offer it, I have to always offer it.
Well, no.
I'm setting it. Well, that's what I'm saying. But there's this pressure when you're cohabiting or coexisting with someone. Every decision, you are signing up to think about them every time you're doing something. And I am wired to really caretake.
Yeah.
So that's just how. So I'm like, what kind of milk? And then I'm like, what the fuck? I just made your coffee and you can't even. So I'll start keeping score. And, you know, I have to work at not doing that in relationships. And then I'm like, okay, in order to be in a relationship, I have to work on these parts of myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a job, you
That's
know?
A boundary I had to set for myself. For a couple of years, I was the one cleaning the human feces off his Prius.
Face.
Off his face.
Why did you date Amber Heard? Why was it on your Prius?
He would have a lot of accidents.
All right.
And I was always like, let me clean it up. Let me, you know, clean everything from the car seat to the underwear to, like, I don't want you to feel shame. You had an accident. Like,
I do. Clean it up. Why are you shitting in a Prius?
He didn't have a lot of choices back then, but...
I have a loose asshole. What the fuck do you
want? He has a really loose asshole, but...
By the way, I have two women in my life that work with me that shit their pants, like, all the time.
Oh, me too. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm sorry, my bad.
Okay, I'm just, you know what, I'm just trying to help understand for the people, because it's the one body.
I don't have a lot of muscles on my body, and my asshole's the same way.
The
muscle around my asshole is weak.
But do you have any heads up, or it's just like, it's just...
Sometimes it just...
And
yeah.
Comes.
It's 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't know what's coming. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe that's a bad reference.
Maybe.
Maybe like Pearl Harbor. Yeah. Same plane. Forget that one. Let's do one, not a plane.
Is there anything else?
Yeah. No.
No, that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And my point
the
is
Exxon
that-
Valdez leak?
Oh, that's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Yeah. Yeah, but basically it's like, oh, it's happening now. It's not like 8 hours before it's like, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In 8 hours? No, it's not like that. You never shit in your pants.
This is very odd.
You've never shit in your pants.
I've done a lot of crazy shit. I've never shit my pants as an adult. Wow. I know. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Have you?
Once, yes.
Your whole life.
Yeah, and it came without warning. It was at the Vermont Canyon tennis courts, and it wasn't even diarrhea.
But have
it
you
was
eaten just a, something? Like, is there a common denominator?
It was a rogue. You know how they have rogue waves? This was like a rogue turd that just fell out from the sky with no warning. And all of a sudden, I felt a little pressure, like a weight in my underwear. And I was like, what is that? So I went to the bathroom, and there was just this, like, pellet.
Oh God.
And I'm like, where did that come from? And I didn't have any stomach ache, nothing.
You know, my thing, I think for the longest time I had such weird eating disorders. I think I was always more constipated. I had the opposite. I like wouldn't shit for like 4 days.
That's worse to me.
A pellet is not shitting in your pants.
It's not. It's not.
I get pellets every day.
Really?
So I shit on my pants every day?
Yeah.
Are you eating like enough?
What's fiber? What is it? What's a fiber?
Can you please? What's a fiber? That is my already my favorite GIF I've ever seen. Like, I just want to go on the iPhone and just, what's fiber?
What
like,
is it? What is
such
it?
Such a brat.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I want yes, to
you,
guess.
By the way,
yes.
No, yes, you do.
You eat it a lot.
I honestly don't.
What's
don't
know what fiber
because
is?
Because in Stardew Valley, my video game, fiber is the little weeds that like that you chop.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah,
is,
right? Yeah. Isn't it called fiber?
Yeah.
So is that what fiber is?
Yeah.
The weeds?
Probably. Everything, certain things have fibers. And fiber isn't something you grow in a fiber plant.
Does wheat have fiber?
Most things have fiber.
Yeah, most, you need fiber to
protein.
For a plant to stand up. The fiber is what holds it up. But yeah, it's what.
Meats don't have fiber.
Yeah, okay, so vegetables.
Uh-huh. It's something that is going to sort of have a texture enough that's going to.
Bulk and create your poop.
Make something more stiff. It's like holds it together so that your shit's
here,
not
do
just.
Do you eat any of this stuff, Bobby?
Yeah. Okay.
Do you eat
whole wheat pasta?
That's not true. This
no.
is a, like a pasta company. Yeah.
Chickpeas.
Pasta's not a good source.
Edamame,
of
edamame. I've had that before.
Big bloater.
Lentils and split peas.
This actually is not even
berries.
A, that's a lot of trigger foods for me.
Pears.
Okay.
No, okay.
This is madness.
Yes, I've had fibers.
Fiber is just like bran.
Got it.
Have
got
you
it.
Had like raisin bran or like grape nuts or dude, eat a bowl of grape nuts. It'll change your life.
It
you
binds?
Won't take the shit. Have you ever taken aloe pills?
No.
Take one aloe pill if you're constipated.
So grape nuts is cereal. If I get the cereal, will it bind my poo?
You will never shit your pants again.
I'm gonna have a fucking grape nut.
No, it's I love gross cereals that people think are gross because the feeling of shitting after having. I don't like the raisin bran with all the sugar in the raisins. Mm-hmm. I don't like raisins in my salad or in my cereal or anything. But you will. It's a great feeling.
Yeah, I think when I eat a lot of ice cream and I'm lactose intolerant.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think stuff like that,
sure,
decisions
sure,
like
sure.
that, I think it fucked me up.
Okay.
So yeah. I think I'm gonna go to great. And now that I know what fiber is. Right, and now that I know, please don't shame me.
I'm not shaming
I'm
you.
I'm just learning things as I go along.
Okay.
You know, and also people on the internet, people always go, "You're a man child. You know these things. Or you should know all these things." Like when I couldn't tell the time with the hands, right? It's just that I just, you know, wasn't bothered to learn it yet.
Yeah, or the science changes,
exactly.
Or the history. Everything we learned in history class just isn't true. Yeah. Everything that we learn, like all, like you learn something and you're this know-it-all about something, and you start living your life based on like soy milk is the best thing in the world for you, acai berries, and then they're like soy milk has lecithin and hormones and
cancerous,
like you should,
yeah.
Give
you
so
bitch
like,
tits, yeah.
As soon as I say fiber is good for you, because that's what I was told, I'm sure in 5 years they'll be like it causes cancer. It's better to shake your pants.
I actually think that I have to be because I have colitis. I have to be very careful with certain fibers and things that are normally what people say are good food, like broccoli.
Can you not have seeds?
I don't. Seeds do
no
not.
No seeds.
So like,
why?
They're very, very, it's very rough on my
hard to digest.
Stomach. Yeah. So like certain foods, like even like broccoli fucks me up. Like foods that are deemed healthy fuck me up. Make my, I shit blood. So, you know.
You shit blood.
Yeah. Brought to you by Manscaped.
So what works for you may not work for the
totally.
Next person.
I also learned this from Neil Brennan. I'd heard it before, but Neil, you've seen when Neil drinks water, he kind of...
Yeah.
You've seen him do that? He
kind of
chews his water. You're supposed to kind of chew your water. So to give your body like a heads up that you're about to eat something so it can make the enzymes to digest. Like,
Wait. Stop. So what you're saying to me is this. Neil Brennan has a glass of water... He's about to fucking chomp down on.
Gargle,
right? So he'll go first and then put it in his mouth?
He'll just drink it and go and swallow it.
Swish it and then swallow.
And so that little motion tells your stomach friends, get ready,
yes,
they're coming.
Because you have a lot of...
it's like a telephone.
You have a lot of digestive enzymes in your mouth. Your mouth is part of your digestive system. And it actually breaks down a lot more than you think. It doesn't just happen
in the
stomach.
And most of us do not chew enough.
Right.
We're supposed to chew. I mean, you know, it's like I'm eating in the car. I'm like deep throating a fucking salmon
Same.
From Bristol Farms as I'm driving. And I'm like, why is my stomach hurt? Because I did chew, you know. So it's like we're supposed to chew our food more. And when you drink your first drink of water before you eat, you're supposed to just like, it signals to your... stomach to make more enzymes to digest.
I just thought of something.
It's like dry. It's like raw dog. It's like dry fucking someone that's not lubed up yet.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah.
That was a horror. That was. I've never asked anyone to cut anything.
Yeah. We're not cutting that out.
Can we please?
So you're. This is a serious thing then, because you know how I have teeth missing.
Yeah.
From on this side of the mouth and this side of the mouth, the bottom rows are all gone.
Were they pulled or?
No, just don't brush. But my point is.
But did you have to pull them out though?
Like, I did. Personally. My
some just fell off.
They just fell out.
Didn't you have a nerve in there?
They
nerves
hurt.
Died.
Constantly pain.
Still?
I don't know. But anyway, I have teeth on this row and this row completely gone, right?
Right.
So when I eat steak, I don't chew. I just swallow it whole.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That are you? And I swallow. Weird attempt. You go. With the front teeth?
Yeah, the front teeth, but I don't want my front teeth to go missing, so I give them a break.
Do you go to the dentist now?
Mm-hmm. Do you go to the dentist now? Your fucking attitude. Fuck you. My point is that, yeah. It's just you're the town.
I'm just saying, who's going to take care of you when Kalila moves out?
So Jack Toonsie.
Me?
My dentist is
I love him. Jack Toonsie.
Yeah.
What's going to happen when Kalila moves out?
So my point
I'm worried.
Is that I don't...
You're going to take care of
him. I have to fucking handle this shit.
I don't chew, so I swallow food like pizza whole. Mm. So that's not good.
I don't think that's very good.
I think whatever you decide to do...
No, I don't want to die, man.
Whatever you're
help me, dude. Life. Help me, man.
Whatever you're... Why do every guy calls me man or dude? It's so...
Bro.
I am being misgendered, and no one cares that I get misgendered.
I think guys do that as... Here's... It helps us... Oh, my God. I'm going to say something sexist, I think. I think I'm about to say something sexist.
Let's try.
But I'm going to give it a... It's not a joke. This is a real thing, because I've noticed I've done that with... female comics in general, right?
Sure.
What's up,
comedians?
Bro? Comedians. Like, the other night, there was this girl that opens for Steve Byrne named Monterey Martinez. Do you know her?
Not personally.
Yeah, and she has buggy eyes, like bigger eyes, right? So I just started attacking her eyes. Like, can you see everything right now? Right? Right? Like, are you constantly sharp? What are you, a cartoon? You know, and I'm attacking her, and I go, later, bro. Right, and I just walk away because I'm overcompensating, I think, because I want to treat them equally. But the only way I can treat women equally is as a guy friend almost, and I don't think that's the right angle.
Sure.
Do you understand what I'm saying or no?
Sure.
That's why I say chief. What's up, chief? Or you know what I mean, bucko, or anything that you know what I mean to put them in the guy category because I don't want to.
I feel like chief is on its way out.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But like, bucko, is that, how about that?
I love bucko.
Bucko's good. Good. What's up,
love bucko?
All right. And they always seem to go. You know, I'm also roughhouse. Like I'll just like give them a little punch on the arm. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Right? Or I'll grab their neck and do like a little roughhousing. Like, you know what I mean?
You should not air this.
Yeah. What?
And I flick your titties.
I feel like
No. But do you understand what I'm saying?
As your friend.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Though? I overcompensate.
I've been on the I'm on the receiving end of all of this all of the
time. And that's why we do it. It's out of respect.
That's exactly how I feel when I go to comedy store.
It's out of respect.
So much respect.
All right, guy.
I will say,
chief,
the most turned on I have ever been was I was walking to a Starbucks that was next to a Panda Express and you weren't working that day, and a Jamba Juice. And there were these like three, and you know when you're like walking, there's like a table of guys and you know they're looking at you and you're walking alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, this is a little like, and I'm walking to Starbucks and you like know that's like three guys and they're like, I don't know, like whatever. They're just like cool guys, the belt and the stitching on the pant, like... And they're just like kicking. And I'm walking and I'm like, not going to make eye contact with them, right? And I'm just like killing it. It's like 10 years
ago. Were they cute?
I like wasn't even going to look. They acted like they were. Like out of my periphery, their body language was like hot guys, like V-neck guys, like three guys that are just like wait, like just watching chicks walk by, right? So I'm like, so then that's your runway. You're like, got you. Like slow motion. I'm trying to make these guys that I won't even want to fuck.
I imagine a guy that looks like Michael Lenoci and Stephen Fury, these type of guys, right?
That's really funny. No, that's
in my head. I'm trying to imagine.
Like three Marquesas.
Oh!
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That takes it.
That's tall hair.
How about two Marquesas and one Brian Monarch?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll definitely do. Yeah.
And then there's four like Skylar Stone in the back.
Saratella's getting the drink. And so. I'm walk by, and then just because you get curious, and I like look over just to like see what they think. And this guy just looked at me and he went, "What's up, dude?" And I literally, I've thought about it every day since it happened.
Wow.
I like that.
It was such a weird, and then I like went and I, it like disoriented me. Threw me in a way that was so hot.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's
his thing. I'm doing it from now on.
It was like genius. What's up, it was dude? So genius. And then I drove away and I was like, does he think I'm a, wait, so does he doesn't, it wow. discombobulated me. And I still think about that guy.
I do like that.
Sup, dude? Look me right in the eye. Sup, dude?
Yeah.
Why is that so? It's also like funny. Like it's like a funny thing to do. And I just like, I've thought about him ever since.
Yeah, because it wasn't even sexual. He was just acknowledging you. But
it was
also
it wasn't like, hey, sweetie, hey, honey. Yeah. Like, what up, dude? Like, I don't fuck you.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Whatever. Yeah. Wow. Like, don't flatter yourself, bro.
Okay. So I have
write
a little.
Write this all down.
What's I am, but I have a little problem I want you to help me with. Okay.
Oh my God.
I need to know about, are you guys getting on apps? Like this feels.
Okay, I have
is
to tell.
Any rush?
I don't
I have
know
a problem
where
here.
To start. I also think I need to be alone for a long time. So I'm not anywhere there yet. But then when you do, what do you do? I don't want to do Raya. That seems so just not my.
Yeah. Baby, if we see each other on Raya though.
Haha.
Can we still swipe?
Yes, yes.
Swipe and just.
Yes.
And
oh! Yes.
That's still because if. If your name pops up
and
I swipe and it doesn't match, it'll break my heart.
But hang on one second. If we swipe, did we fuck that night?
I think you guys should have redated.
No.
Sorry, I forgot you stopped.
Have you guys
fuck
stopped?
I forgot. For some reason, I was like, he likes me again.
I love you deeply.
What was your question?
Are you you guys are like, do you still occasionally just sleep together? Or
no.
You're just like, we're not.
No sex, no.
No, like,
no,
can't
no,
go
no.
there.
Like, but like, we're still really, the hard thing to break is the tenderness and the huggy.
That,
you know,
to like, me, anyone can have sex with anyone. Like, no girls, I think people would be way more jealous of like, you two have this bond that they're, it's tricky. The guys that come into my life, I haven't even dated like a comedian, but I say to people, I'm like, you will never be as close to me as Nick, ever.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
We can have kids together. And that's okay. And you'll just find the person that's okay with that. The guy that I'm with, he's very busy. He's a veterinarian. Yeah. He works a lot. He doesn't have a ton of emotional needs and he loves Nick. And it's the three of us. It's perfect.
Yeah. I think the dreadful situation I imagine is meeting some girl and then her slowly trying to get me to hate Kalila.
I don't think they'd.
And if that started to happen, I would just cut that fucking cancer out.
You would. You'd have to.
But I think that's what's tricky right now is like when I see him, how to break the habit of wanting to just hug him or be close. What about you? Is that like?
Well, I've been trying to
like break away a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Break away and do the boundary
I have
thing.
Too, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Have
it's
you
hard.
Noticed?
I have noticed. Yeah.
It's gonna take, and it's also like y'all are so like. There's no like resentments or like this is so mature and it's so adult. Like it helps me because I, you know, I'm in recovery from love addiction and don't mean to brag.
You are.
But but you put these bottom lines down where it's like if you're going through a breakup or starting, you just go like, okay, for this next week, we're going to be easier on ourselves and we're going to do whatever. This next week, we're going to just not hug and just fist bump. Just like to put like, it's
well,
not. It's
I was talking to my therapist and she said, 6 months ago, she said, she was talking about, I don't know why we're talking about. People get divorced, and I go.
Because we were talking about our relationship,
right? And she was, and basically she's like, not all of them, and you know, with the custody battle, and you know, what I mean, a lot of divorces end in a loving, mindful way. You know, what I mean, thinking of all the people around them, and doing it in a way where the relationships are still intact, and there's still deep love for the child as well. If there's children involved. And I thought to myself, you know, if I ever did break up with Kalila, that's the only way that I could do it. Because, you know, I think Tiger Belly is our child. You know what I mean? We have seven animals.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things.
That's a tricky one. The animal
fish. And you didn't just love each other. You like each other.
Really like
you
it.
You love
like
each too, other and like each other.
She's okay.
It's just, and you've, done, and you've done so much work in this era, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we make fun of conscious uncoupling, that whole Gwyneth Paltrow thing.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, the name's a little tricky. But it's like, there's a way to do it that is, it's so... It's disrespectful to yourself to have 10 years with someone and then be like, and make it shitty. It's like, that was 10 years of your life. It's sacred time. I mean, it's like.
I don't have it in me. I don't have an ounce of
resentment.
Yeah.
Well, I know this because even people that you saw in the past in your life are still in your life. I know them.
Right.
Right. So like that's how I know, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's going to be okay.
And sorry.
She's that type of person.
I think the only thing that hits for women, I think, is going like, I just lost 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
My firm skin
that
years.
That is so funny to me. But here's what I'll say about that. This is where I go with that. Or you could have done what I did and just dated instead of, I would have rather dated one amazing person for 10 years right. and built something great than a different idiot every year
Ooh,
for
yeah,
10
that's
years.
A good point.
You know what I mean? And then you get to a situation where you're just like, I would rather have done that. And then now that I'm a little bit older, when a guy is into me, because I'm not, you know, whatever. My skin is very firm. I use lots of lasers.
You look great.
Thank you. But I'm like the guy that I'm dating now, I'm so into him because he's into me and I'm not 20. There's something that's so much hotter about when the guy that's going to be so obsessed with you and you're not, you are in your, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm not going to get
guys,
woman in their body.
Guys on Instagram, stop sending me on Instagram, can I fuck Kalilah?
What?
I'm getting hundreds of guys, now that we broke up, asking me on Instagram direct message and stop fucking doing it.
I could promise you that the first couple times that I have sex will not be with a man.
Okay,
I have
made
a commitment to
So I have a problem, Whitney. Can you help me with this?
Yes.
Okay. This is, Whitney, I couldn't even look him in the face when this happened. So yes, she's the right person for this.
Okay, so last week we sat down after one of our podcasts and we decided, let's reach out to comics we haven't had or performers that could be guests on Tiger Belly. So what I did is I went to my phone, my contact list.
Here's what I'll say. I think when listening to the Neil one, Neil Brennan, which I love, by the way, it is weird because you like don't want to ask people to be on your podcast because it's like you're like, but so many people ask. We don't normally have to ask.
Am I
making any sense?
No, I don't get what you're saying.
Well, just when Neil was like, how come you haven't asked me to be on? I would shoot myself in the head before I'd ask Neil to be on my podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then you're like, well, why haven't you asked me? And I'm like, why haven't you asked me? It's just like, there's no consistent procedure yet.
This
protocol.
Is beyond that. This
okay,
is beyond
sorry.
That
this
nightmare.
This is beyond that nightmare. So I went through my whole, and I was, you know, there's some names in here. I was like, you know what? They're going to say no, but I'm going to reach out anyway, right?
New Bob.
New Bob is like,
a self-worth.
Yeah. And so.
Bobby Lee.
So I people that had said no in the past, I reached out to like Sebastian Maniscalco, and he wants to do it now. We're trying to find a date. Mm-hmm. And there's other ones. So I went down and I got down to the T's, right?
Titus.
And I saw Daniel Tosh.
Oh yeah.
In my phone,
you
under D Tosh.
Such a fucking masochist. Oh my god. Okay.
All right. So I go, hey, it's Bobby Lee. This probably isn't your number anymore, but can you do my podcast, please? I love you. That's what I said. Mm-hmm. He responds right away. Because Bobby, I would love to, brother. Have your folks send me the details. And he's like, thank God I didn't change my number. Right?
So sweet.
Sweet.
Lovely.
So I go, thanks, dude. Exclamation. He goes, of course, I'm honored. And I almost cried. I'm like, oh my God, this guy's, that's like, something's going on.
Is he a Scientologist now? What happened to Tosh?
So the next day, it says, Bobby, your podcast today, I'm so sorry about you and Kalilah. He goes all into it. And then he goes, this is where it gets fishy. He goes, let's get together this weekend. I'll be in LA. It'd be great to catch up. Love you, man. So I'm like, wow, he's religious or I don't know. Like, I'm around. It's been tough. Let's get coffee or something. Let me know. Then he responds right away. Say strong, brother. And then this and that. And then I look up at, you know, I don't have his picture saved. But I look up into this photo right here.
Oh my God.
And
oh
it says Tosh. I don't know what that means. So I Google Tosh and it's the same Indian guy.
Wait, I didn't even know this.
I told you, Whitney.
No.
Sit down. Sit down, please, please, please.
I had such secondhand embarrassment over
this.
Oh my
God. Right. Wait, who is this guy?
Right, right.
He's
I don't
CEO
so,
of
so
a diverse person?
Yes.
Right, so I saved Dan D Tosh and I should have put Tosh as the anyway.
It's a, okay, it's
I saved it as D Tosh. So then I go, "Hey Tosh, I thought I was texting with Daniel Tosh the comedian. Sorry for the miscommunication and misunderstanding. Ha ha ha. I'm so sorry." And then he goes,
let me stop.
Yeah. The fact that Tosh sent you to his people is the craziest part of this.
Wait, who is he?
Exactly.
But you know, yeah. I looked him up. He is a CEO of this company. It's like a tech company.
What?
So like, he does have people.
Why is he in your phone?
But this is how I changed, because in the past, I would have gone, I'm just going to have to have him on my podcast.
The fact that he...
We always have this guy, Tosh... Some random guy on our podcast,
CEO.
Just because I fucked up on the whole thing.
Tosh, yeah, he's the founder of Charge.
We gotta have him on.
The fact
I think we have to have him on. Now.
He should have known, like, this isn't for me.
Yeah, so in my head, right, I'm
what
like
a narcissist was like he. I'm sure this happens. Anyone that has a name similar to a famous person, it happens all the time.
But they don't have a similar name.
Daniel Tosh and Tosh.
Yeah, that's his first
okay,
name.
Okay, if a comedian is that is not known for having all, you know,
right,
the cards in the deck, texts you about his podcast, he should have deduced, like, oh, he's probably talking about Daniel Tosh.
Right, but this is how dumb I am and how I don't read things. So the initial, his initial response was, love to, brother, have your folks send me the details.
By the way, in the email. Fact, like, I already knew it wasn't Tosh when he was like, I listened to your episode of Tiger.
I know.
Sorry about but your breakup.
Like, he goes, miss you so much. Vix and I got to see you at the comedy club a few weeks ago.
You should.
So in my head, I'm like, who's Vix? I don't know no Vix. All right. Because I know Tosh.
Can you imagine Tosh watching a comedy show?
I know. And he would have called it the store, not comedy club. I mean, there's just so many signs, but in my head,
he's like, I saw your skit down at the comedy club. You're like, what?
Yeah. So I, not only did I not, fuck you, man. Fuck you.
When he came home and told me this story, I was like, get out of my face.
Yeah.
Out of remember my I called face. You and I go, I called him, I go, don't email the guy.
Finally get Daniel Tosh for the 5 years.
Do you have Tosh's?
No, I don't even have his fucking number, dude.
You have his? Can we FaceTime him?
No, don't FaceTime him now. I'm so embarrassed. Please don't. Not right now.
Well, you just don't respond. It'll go away. You just have to not respond.
No, I already did. I said, at the end, I apologize. And at the end, he goes, it's all good. Yeah, it would be the first. Cheers.
Okay.
But now I have to get Tosh on here just for like at least 15 minutes and go, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Would it? I feel like we milked that for all it was worth. I feel like that was the perfect ending to the story, it's over.
Yeah.
I feel like it's over.
Anyway, so do you think I handled it well?
Not particularly. But yeah, that's just a nightmare. But the bigger question is, Tosh, has he ever done a podcast?
Oh my God, he doesn't do all the other ones, right? So I'm like, this is going to be great for me.
It was worse for me because when he said Kalila, sorry about you and Kalila's, but I was like, he knows who I am. I was so excited.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I mean, if I saw Daniel Tosh on the street, he would hug me and we'd talk.
Of course.
I mean, he's the nicest guy in the world, but I just don't have the kind of relationship with him like I have with others. You know what I mean?
It is weird though, because there are sometimes that comedians, especially now after the pandemic, I think people who they really are is coming out. People that used to be toxic are kind of now like healed. People have had to make a decision at the age we are whether they're going to heal or stay assholes. And sometimes people that were rough or rude or that you were scared of now are like, hey man, so good. People have come out the other side, either better or worse in a way.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense with all these cancellations, or I don't know what it is, but there's been a little bit of a reckoning. And like I was really nervous to ask Gabriel Iglesias to come on my podcast.
Oh.
I was just like, I don't really know him. I'm a fan. Like, I've seen him, but we're not like, you know, he's just like always selling out stadiums. He's not at the comedy store hanging out. And I DM'd him and I was like, he'll probably never respond. And I was like, hey, do you want to come? Right away. Yep, absolutely. I'm there in August. I'd love to come. And it was like, of course he would be like that, but it was just kind of
one of the nicest guys in the world.
I was, yeah.
Get Gabriel on there.
Like yeah, I love. Hey, not before I have him on.
I want to see if he'll pick up for me right now.
Shit. But I'm just saying, I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Of course he's nice, but there are times where someone that is really nice wants to do your podcast right away, or like, this is cool. It's I guess. It's,
I don't have his number.
Sometimes it's surprising. I get it's like to go like to be, and you were intoxicated by just that. Yeah, the answer yes.
Yeah.
And I think there's something really sweet and sort of innocent about just going like, yeah, this is Tosh. He's just this guy now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Not that he's not that guy. But I'm just saying that,
but
like,
he's no comic.
There's no way
guy.
He is going to respond with a gigantic chunk.
Anyone
of
that
detail.
Is a comic that's coming on the podcast is going to, I'm not going to talk about the breakup here. I'm going to talk about it when I fucking go on there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A comic would have held it, been like, see you the 15th, not going to say anything else.
Right.
Well, I'll that's save it point. For the content.
Also, I should have just looked. You know, the biggest giveaway was I should have just looked at this upper photo of an Indian guy.
Yeah, but you don't. Your vision's not good lately.
I'm gonna update it. Name and
just
photo.
Delete that person.
No,
you can't. You're gonna make this mistake again.
Now he's on the thing.
You didn't. Based on those rectangles, those are
long.
Those are rectangles. Those are vertical rectangles. You could flip that around. I could have told you that wasn't Tosh from over here.
Oh, right here. That's long. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way.
Not Tosh.
Yeah, there one sentence.
No.
Yeah. Like Sebastian's. I can read you Sebastian's.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, I can read you Sebastian's. Sebastian's is...
this is a fun game. Let's go through. Let's do this. Last text Santino sent you.
Okay, so yeah.
Let's do last text.
This is usually...
Last text of famous...
This is usually a comedian's back and forth.
Okay.
Right? Just boom, 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 right?
Okay.
Well, yeah.
What's the last text?
By the way, this is my exchange with Sebastian. Just look at the blue.
Yeah.
On the right is me, and the left is him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
One word.
Yeah. That's him.
Literally one word.
Yeah.
This is Desperado.
Let's see. Andrew sent.
Sebastian makes me feel like I'm chasing a guy in high school. Just like always. Always.
Yeah.
I'm like, Sebastian's here. Should I say hi? And he's like, hey, what's up? I'm like, okay, say hi.
Yeah, he's a private guy.
We're very good friends. I mean,
I love him
just,
too.
It's you never.
Yeah, you never know.
You know?
Yeah.
What was your last Santino text?
Well, he's out of town.
Well, no, I know, but he's.
Santino.
So the last text.
I can't even find it.
Mine says, oh my God, so cool.
Okay, not bad. Like, there's those games, yeah. People are like, the fourth to last photo on your phone. And,
right.
You know? What is it?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, for him, it's all him and not me. Right? It's all him and not me, which I feel bad about. Yeah, but it's all mostly him. But it's him because he acts as if I'm his like annoying little brother, even though I'm much older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you got to do this. You got to do that. And it's him nagging a lot. You know what I mean?
He's the responsible older
brother. He's the responsible guy on the podcast. I don't think without him, there would be bad friends. Yeah. You know
right.
I mean?
He kind of is the
unhelpful advice. Well, this is too long.
Unhelpful advice with Whitney Cummings.
Are you? Am I bombing that? I always feel
you're,
like I'm bombing.
You're killing
oh, no,
it.
This is great.
This is. I could go on. Listen, honestly, when we do, shut the fuck up for a second. Let me say something. All right.
I just came.
Usually at 30 minutes, I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm looking for the fucking the ghost. See that ghost right there?
Yes, I do.
That ghost is on there when it's at what?
Around an hour.
An hour.
Mm. Okay, right? I love you.
So usually at 30 Thank minutes, you. I'm always looking for the ghost. I just realized the ghost was there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, which means...
Because you were looking at this ghost. Oh, my special comes out July 26th.
Hey, Chief.
Oh, yeah. Let's
yeah, you want to promote, Chief?
Sure.
Yeah, come on, Chief.
My special's on Netflix. It's called Jokes.
Oh, awesome. And when does it air?
July 26th.
All right, everyone.
So it's out. I think it's out.
Yeah. It's out.
Yeah, it's out. Please watch. Go
Thank
ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great. I haven't seen it. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. First, I love Kalila. By the way, the headline is Your Girl from Saudi Arabia. I'm 25 years old, studying abroad.
You're allowed to read? She's not from Saudi Arabia. You can read and write? It's already a...
Well, I'm 25, studying abroad in London.
Oh, good.
In London, alone.
Okay.
It's been almost a year, and I haven't made any friends other than my classmates. It's getting boring, and I'm afraid I'm wasting my time at this great opportunity in London. I know it kind of sounds lame, but what would you suggest I do to make friendships? I do go out, I explore wasting my money on brunches, but it would be fun with someone, and I don't do anything spontaneous with strangers, as I'm very paranoid about getting murdered, especially that I live alone. And I don't
in London?
In London.
Not from your hometown, Saudi Arabia?
I don't have anyone to trust to go out with. What do you think I should do? Her name is RF.
Friends. How old is she? 25. Making 25. Friends at 25.
From Saudi Arabia.
Hold on. I feel like we're missing. She is worried she's going to get murdered, which is why she won't go out.
Mm. Or meet strangers.
It sounds
to go out with.
It sounds like there's some deep trauma.
Mistrust.
Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even think of that. That doesn't even pop in my head.
When someone says, I can't talk to strangers, I'm worried about being murdered. Or maybe she's joking. Maybe
No. Joking. But also women are, you know what I mean? I mean, don't you think that it's just a dangerous world out there and women just have a higher...
Yeah, of course. You know and I think this everyone listening to these murder podcasts, I think gives you an exaggerated sense of But that's to be afraid of being murdered. That feels like something that needs to be like a paranoia or a fear. Yeah.
If I didn't have the comedy clubs to go to or alcohol AA meetings, I would have no friends. Right. So my suggestion to her is to find some. I know you're friends with your classmates, right? Mm-hmm. But to join some sort of club.
Murder someone, go to jail, and you'll have a roommate.
Yeah, yeah. But find something, you know what I mean, that you're,
like a hobby.
That's an interest, that's a hobby, or...
Or, by the way, get a job. Mm-hmm. That's how most people meet their friends, at work.
Oh, that's true,
at what you do.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I'm not
yeah.
saying maybe she doesn't need one, but just like working at a cafe for 3 hours
Yeah, yeah,
a part-time job. Part-time
job. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If she's on a student visa, that does have restrictions.
Okay. How about, can you do service work?
Sex work?
What?
Yeah, he worked like illegally at a bar.
Oh yeah, just
it's
under the table.
An under table job. Under the table job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a fun one in like a bar, like you know, where there's a lot of patrons and people you can, you know, talk to in like a safe-ish environment.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Is there some sort of Saudi Arabian like club?
Saudi Arabia is
like some sort of like you know
nightclub.
No, because if I came to LA from Korea, I would go to Koreatown and I would go to. You know what I mean? Like, not a
Cafe Blue or no?
Yeah, Cafe Blue and hang out, like, you know, amongst like-minded or people that look like me. You know what I mean? I don't know.
What?
Were you at the insurrection? Were you at the insurrection?
You know, it just sounds... No, what do you mean, what?
That's
what do you mean,
weird?
What?
So you're saying when I came here from the Philippines, I should have just looked for Filipinos?
But wouldn't you feel more comfortable with Filipinos?
Oh, the Mexicans took me and the Filipinos shunned me.
Same thing, close. I mean, it's like you went to the closest thing. Like for me.
If there were no Koreans, what would be the next?
Filipinos.
You would say Chinese or something.
No, because when I lived, from Minnesota, when I was a kid, I lived in Minnesota from 2 to 10. Then we moved to San Diego, right? And I was always around white people, right, in Minnesota. And so when I went to this new school, I congregated to like the Filipino kids, and they all had mustaches, and they were my age. They had full blown mustaches, and their name is Santiago, or whatever, right? Ooh. And I'd be hanging out with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, how come you can't grow a mustache like me? Because I'm 11. You know what I mean? You fucking mutant. But my point is that my point is that you. Don't you? Is that not a thing?
I don't know how to make.
I guess one thing. This is not helpful advice for now. This is for in 10 years. I believe you only need like 3 or 4 good friends. As someone that was like a friend hoarder for the longest time, there's like the more friends I have, the more loved I must be, or the more you know. And then you are stressing out trying to service them all, and then you're like, I'm a bad friend to everyone, you know. But I think that meeting people through work is always a good thing, keeps you busy. But I also that's very interesting because I guess she wasn't able to, because a lot of people are friends with people they went to high school with. In Saudi Arabia, are you not allowed to fraternize or something? Like, it's because she's in London now.
Anyway.
Sorry.
What I want to say to you is thank you for Clubhouse.
There's no more advice?
Why do you want to keep going?
I want
to have fucking dinner, dude. You know what I mean? I want to move on with my life, man. This was a great episode. You know what? If we kept going, I would want more material so that we could save the episode, but we already killed it, so why would I need to go more?
new Bob.
All right, I'm not doing it anymore, all right?
Okay.
You fucking killed it. We got what we needed. We got your shit out. Netflix, July, whenever it comes out.
July, whenever
it comes out. It's a hit, man. And also, I want to say that we learned a lot, and it was a pleasure for you to have here now. You know what I mean? That's Gary Cannon's around.
Are you coming to the comedy store tonight?
Yeah, I'll see you tonight. Give her a round of applause. Thank you.